Peter chapter 1, verse 14. I read an article the other day written by a woman who has a very challenging four-year-old named Logan. She had taken Logan grocery shopping, and he absolutely insisted on pushing the cart, not riding in it. And she allowed him to go for a little while, but after the second or third pedestrian that he had hit, she said, "That's it, you're getting in the cart." Well, Logan just had such a public meltdown that she right there declared, "You time out for you when we get home." They got home, she put him in his bedroom, puttered around for about 10 minutes, not too far from his room, peeked in, expecting to find that he was napping on his bed. Instead, there was Logan with a container of baby powder standing in front of a fan, making choo-choo noises, making it, you know, puff, puff as a train kind of a thing, as the fan carried the powder throughout the room. His room looked like one of those snow globes after you had shaken it up. Exasperated, she began to clean that up, and as she was cleaning, she saw a little piece of fabric sticking out of the front of the VCR. So she pushed open that lid and found out that it had been stuffed full of wipes. As she pulled the wipes out, she noticed they were soaked with mouthwash. Logan had squirted mouthwash everywhere, cleaned it up with the wipes, and then, in order to hide the evidence, had stuffed it all in his VCR. Did I mention that all of this happened within about 10 minutes time? That all happened before he started with the choo-choo train in front of the fan going on. Some children are more challenging than others. Have you noticed that? You ever get exasperated with those parents who know everything because they have one child that was very compliant? Some children are more challenging than others. My question for you today is, what kind of a child are you in the kingdom of God? Do you give God fits, or do you bring him a lot of joy? 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 14. As obedient children, do not conform to the evil desires you had when you lived in ignorance. But just as he who called you is holy, so be holy in all you do. For it is written, "Be holy because I am holy." Father, we come to you again humbly, and we ask you to help us with this stuff. Oh, we get too big for our britches sometimes. The things Logan did, mess up his room. Well, sometimes we do worse to mess up our lives. Please don't just forgive us, but help us to get better. Help us to follow after you. Help us to learn, mature. And we'll thank you for all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Peter instructs us to live as obedient children. And I think in order to understand this better, maybe we could consider some ways that children are disobedient. What are some of the traits of disobedient children? First thing I came up with was disobedient children are ornery. Just plain ornery. They will not want to do something just because you said that they ought to do something. Whatever you say that is for dinner, even if it used to be their favorite, because you said it's for dinner, they now want to eat something. They're ornery. They're self-willed. They're unconcerned about how their actions affect others, other than they rather delight in being irritating. They're focused on what they want. They use their skills to delight themselves regardless of the effect of those skills on others. They can't be trusted. You ever say to yourself, "It's too quiet"? They need constant supervision. If somebody's not watching them, watch out. Disobedient children make everyone else's life harder. Parents, siblings, teachers, police. disobedient children of God, and that takes us to all age groups, conform to the evil desires of their sinful nature. They make everyone else's life harder. Spouse, parents, children, pastors, teachers, brothers, and police. Our sinful nature thinks it's funny to make other people miserable. Maybe you work with that person. Boy, they just get a kick out of doing this or that to somebody else. And of course, now it can go viral because you put it on YouTube. They delight in other people's misery. Or maybe they don't even care what their life does to somebody else. Maybe their issue is drinking. And everybody that loves them is begging them to stop. But they don't have a problem. It's everybody else that has a problem. Maybe they love to smoke. And they don't care because it's their house. And they'll do what they want to in their house. Or maybe it's entertainment or their language or all of the above. Choice of music. You're not going to tell them how to live. And they're not very interested in how their conduct affects you. They're not even concerned about how their life affects God. The Old Testament is full of accounts of God's response to sinful behavior, how he feels about certain rebellious characteristics. And Jesus took all of those experiences. People died trying to illustrate to us what things are right, what things are wrong, what God approves of, what he disapproves of. Jesus came along, condensed all those experiences into a couple simple rules. Do not lust. Do not hate. Do not covet. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. Anything that violates those simple rules is living as a disobedient child. And if you want to be happy, obey God. So I said a couple weeks ago, you will never find happiness trying to pursue happiness. But if you will surrender your life over to the Lord and you will follow him, happiness will be a byproduct of your obedience. If you want to be miserable and take everybody else along with you in your misery, hold everybody else accountable for your misery. It's his fault. It's her fault. Well, no matter no wonder I drink. Look at you. I got to live with you. And they hold us all accountable for their unhappiness. There's an interesting play on words or choice of words that Peter uses here in verse 14. As obedient children, do not conform to the evil desires you had when you lived in ignorance. Before you knew Christ, before you came into a new life, you were ignorant. You didn't know any better. You were who you were. But now, when you act that way, you're being ignorant. You're not using the knowledge. You're not using the power. There is power in the name of Jesus to break every chain. And rather than using that power, you offer up excuses. Now that you're born again, you have the Bible laid out in front of you, filled with instruction. You have the Holy Spirit ready to help you at any issue that you might be facing. Just yesterday, I read an article that said only 45% of people who attend church read their Bible more than once a week. Only 45% read their Bible more than once a week. And how in the world are we going to be transformed if we're not allowing the Word of God to be active in our lives and challenge us on a daily basis? It's your responsibility to comply with the heart and spirit of the law of love. You must control your wicked self, discipline your flesh, and practice acts of kindness. This is non-negotiable. This is what children of God do. We control ourselves, we discipline our flesh, and we practice acts of kindness. You are to be holy because your Savior is holy. This is what it's like to be like Jesus. You're called into, you are invited into holiness. Holy is to be whole, mature, secure, complete. To be whole is to be well. You are to be holy because your Savior is holy. You don't need a bunch of cheap tricks. You don't need to keep drawing attention to yourself. You don't have to win every time just to prove yourself. You can be happy when others succeed. You can play second fiddle. You can take a back seat. Obedient children bring joy and pride to the Father's heart. When we please God, that unleashes His trust and His treasure. He delights to bless in those who love to serve Him. Humble yourself, He'll exalt you in good time. Give, and it shall be given back to you. As every music student learned at some point in their life, every good boy does fine. Every good boy does fine. If there was another G in there, would say girl. We're not being gender specific here. Every good person, if there was a P on the scale, every good boy does fine. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 17. Since you call on a father who judges each person's work impartially, that always gives me pause when I read that. Everybody lined up, judged impartially. Live out your time as foreigners here in reverent fear. How many of you could say, I knew when my dad was mad? Yeah. He acted a little different when he was angry than when he was pleased with me. And maybe you can remember a specific time when you really set him off. And when you knew you had pushed the right button, what were you expecting to happen? Were you expecting Dairy Queen? Or maybe a little bit more severe consequences than that? In the same way, it's true spiritually. Do you want to be happy? Live to please your Heavenly Father. I know we often say, Mama ain't happy, ain't nobody happy. True. Same can be said for Daddy too. And especially your Heavenly Father. You want to be miserable? Just do things that irritate the Lord. Read everything He said not to do. Just go out and do them. It is not going to go well with you. Not only are there negative consequences to everything He's trying to keep us away from, but boy, when God is not pleased with you, just not a good thing. In verse 18 and following, Peter says, the first reason this is expected, the reason you should follow the Lord, the reason you should obey Him, the reason you should be good, is because you were bought with a price, with the precious blood of Christ. If it was cheap, if it was easy, maybe it's understandable, but Jesus Christ shed His blood on the cross to save your soul. How we react, how we live, our character is our response to that act of kindness on our behalf. Not something cheap, not something perishable, but the precious blood of Jesus Christ. The second reason Peter gives us is that along with faith in Jesus comes a new nature by which we are enabled to love our brothers and sisters and to live out this life of Christ. You know, you may not believe this, we are not naturally that loving. Took a couple of grandkids to a yard sale yesterday. We took a nice long walk. We brought home this, it's an aircraft carrier, $2. You know, brought home an aircraft carrier with all these, enough stuff in it to keep every grandkid I have happy and pleased. So I thought. Got it home. The older one's playing with it, and the youngest one. The youngest one, he loves his oldest brother and just wants to do everything his oldest brother is doing. And everything that Colton touched, then Cooper had to had to handle. And Cooper just got so, he just started pounding Cooper on the head, you know, and we are not naturally that loving. It, pow, 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 pow. Stop, stop. How does that happen? You brought home an aircraft carrier. You brought home an aircraft carrier. What more could you give to your grandkid? It had planes on it. It had a little soldier in there. You pushed this thing and bombs flew everywhere. It was great. I think Meemaw and Papa would have had a great time with the aircraft. At least Papa would have had a great time. And, you know, and the next thing you know, pound, 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 I start World War III with an aircraft carrier. Who knew? We're not to, but when Christ comes into us, he changes our nature. At least it's supposed to be changed. And when we find ourselves saying to our brother or sister, pound, 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 we're supposed to stop and say, whoa, whoa, whoa. This is not the way it's supposed to go. Now, little brothers or sisters can sometimes greatly deserve pound, pound, pound. But that doesn't mean that's what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to be loving. We're supposed to be caring. We're supposed to control those desires and do unto others as you would have them do unto you rather than what you feel like doing in the moment. Therefore, rid yourselves, Peter writes in chapter 2, the first three verses. Rid yourselves of all malice, all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and slander of every kind. He said, if you're going to live for Christ, there's a couple things you need to get rid of. You just can't carry them around. You can justify them if you want to, but that's not good. That's not getting rid of them. And I don't care how old you get. I don't care how mature you become in Christ. These things will always be trying to grow in your garden. Malice, deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and slander of every kind. We were talking the other night at the get-together we had about road rage and how, you know, one of my particular pet peeves is you got the green arrow. You're like car number 6 or 7 in line. The arrow turns green and the first guy gets through just fine. And you're waiting for that second guy. Just putt, 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 putt. And it's about then that I'm screaming, just as long as you get through the light, I'm a happy man. I don't care if I'm just so you make it through. That's all the rest of us care about. You just put on through the light. Rid yourselves of all malice, all deceit, hypocrisy. I think I hit all three of those, didn't I? Envy, I wish I was the second guy in line. Slant. All right, I'm toast. Rid yourself. I guess that's why God made little green arrows to mature pastors so that they're fit for human habitation. Peter said, you got to get rid of this. In fact, you had a work of the Holy Spirit. We've been talking about that. But he said that we have to rid ourselves of that. It's my responsibility to improve my character. It's not enough to kneel down at night and say, God, I'm really sorry. Could you, while I'm sleeping, come and just transform me? He said, no, I'm not going to do that for you. Here's the tools that you need. The Word of God and the power of the Holy Spirit. You're to pray about this, but you're to work on it too. I want you to self-confess. I want you to say, well, Lord, I blew it then. I'm sorry. Will you help me the next time? I want you to watch yourself to make sure that you're going to be an obedient child. Rid yourselves of all of those things. That kind of takes the pressure off a little bit of our parenting too. As parents, we need to discipline. We need to do it. But it's really a child's responsibility to become an adult. We can guide them. We can give, but they have to decide at some point to become compliant, to get with the program, to make everybody's life a little bit easier. And the only way you're going to accomplish this is to crave pure spiritual milk. You need to get into the Word of God somehow. The music you're listening to, reading the Word for yourself, putting it on tape. If you don't like reading, you know, listening to the Word of God, you need more Word. You need to start craving it, not just forcing it into yourself, but looking forward to what God is speaking into your life at any given opportunity. Crave pure spiritual milk. Stop pressing your nose against the window, looking at it, out at all the world is doing. Oh, I wish I wasn't saved. Then I could do this. I could do that. I could get away with this. I could get away. Oh, look, they look like you're having so much fun. That's ridiculous. That's absolutely ridiculous. Press into God. Seek His wisdom. Seek His counsel. That's where the joy and the strength of life come from. Actively and intentionally make better choices. Actively and intentionally make better choices. Shape your own schedule. Stop being a victim of circumstances. Stop running with the rats and stop a little and shape your life. Who are you? What do you want to become? What's the steps you need to take between now and there? Where can you get started? Stop promoting yourself. Promote God and others above yourself. Peter uses the phrase, grow up in our salvation. God loves it when you work at becoming better. God loves the whole process where you first come in and say, you know what, God? I'm not a prize here. I'm sorry. And then, God, show me, who do you want me to be? And allow the Lord to work in your life. Let it help him, allow him to show you what life looks like from his perspective. You've been a victim. This person, this, that person, that. This opportunity fell through. And so, God, all things work together for good to them that love God and are called according to his purpose. Thank you, God, for continuing to work on me. And thank you for what I learned here and what's going on over there. Isn't it time we grew up in our salvation? Sacrifice those lies that have held you back. I'm too shy. I'm too busy. That's just not me. It does honor to the price paid for you whenever you love others in Jesus' name. Ever have a child irritate you? If not, we can arrange something for you. Don't do that to God. Don't exasperate the Lord. Bring a smile to his face and joy to his heart. Would you stand with me this morning? Jesus, you gave it all.